got the handheld wireless for him? Mr. It's coming. Oh, no, it's all gone now.
I'm here. That was an unholy spirit. That's what that was. Let me get fixed here. Good morning. Steve's birthday. What can I say? I thought he was through talking about it last Sunday, but no! He has to get back up here again today and talk about it. You'd think he's proud of being 69. Yeah, I it's always neat to have the last word. We'll cut the microphone off as soon as I'm finished so that he won't have the last word. It's good to see you. And just great to be a part of North County Christian Fellowship. If you're not a part of this church body in an official capacity, I'd like to know what's keeping you. This is the place to be. The old guy that used to go to my church, I've talked about him before. He says no, it's a poor frog that won't croak for his own pond. Well, this is it. And so I have to croak a little bit. In fact, Bishop Charles Fisher in Fresno asked me just to shut up one time because I was talking about North County. And he said, will you just shut up? Okay, I know already. Actually, I was talking about Pastor Steve, and that's the reason he didn't want me talking. I have the spiritual gift of gossip. You heard about the three pastors that were out on the boat. One says, "You know, I've just got to tell you, I just need to open up, and I just don't have anybody to talk to, so I just want to tell both of you together that." You know what? I've got problems with pornography, and I don't know. I've sought counsel. I just don't know what to do about it. I'm still working on it, and I just needed to share it with you guys. You're my best friends. The other guy spoke up and said, "Well, now since you're sharing, and I feel that maybe I should open up. I'm a kleptomaniac. I steal everything. I don't know. I walk into a store and it's just a pack of gum here and a piece of candy there, or a pencil here, or a pen from an office that I'm sitting in. Or he said I just can't help it. I just go around picking up things." So he said I just wanted you guys to know that. So the third guy thought for a minute, and he says, "Well, I really hate to share mine, but," he said, "since you two are really being vulnerable," said, I'll share." Said, I'm a gossip, and I can hardly wait till I get back to shore so I can tell somebody. So I don't know how that works here at the church, but I hope no one has that that spiritual gift. It's not a favorable one. Let's pray. After that, I think we need to. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together today. Lord, it is indeed a pleasure to be a part of what you're doing. And this church, these people, these individuals, these families, Lord, we're thrilled to be a part of what you are doing. And you are stirring up the lives in Paso Robles and roundabout areas with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the churches, individual churches that are such an important part of your body, with individual ministry leaders and pastors. And Lord, it's just so honorable to see them working together and pulling together, sacrificing together, ministering together, praying together. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the unity that you're providing in our churches, individually, and our churches collectively. I pray this morning that every church that's preaching the Bible, preaching the Word of God, that you will minister to them in such a special way, Father. Allow the speakers to allow you as the Holy Spirit to flow through and touch the hearts of every life that's in every building, every sanctuary across this county. So, Lord, for us this morning, allow your servant to be able to share that which is appropriate from your word, and, Lord, let our hearts listen to what the word of the Lord is saying. Giving you all praise and thanksgiving in worship in Jesus' name. Everybody together? And amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, it's not going to be read for you on the front, so you'll have to take note and take your Bible and your iPhone and your iPads and whatever you have available that has God's Word in it, and let's read together. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The text will explain itself, so let's dive in. Chapter 3, 1 Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Verse 2. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Verse 6. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, stop right there and look at me for a second. I know it's a huge transition, but I really want to make this especially clear before we go on. The whole idea of Samuel not knowing the Lord, you remember Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord at birth and took him to Eli early in his life. But the word no here is a very intimate term. And what the writer is saying here is that Samuel did not yet have an intimate relationship with God. He didn't have a relationship where God would talk and Samuel would answer because he did not yet know his voice. I think that would be a terrible thing, and yet I understand there are individuals even in our churches across America that are sitting in the pews that hear the message every day, but they do not yet know the Lord. Okay, so just kind of put that away in the memory banks, and let's go on. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" For Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there. I think that's so interesting. The Lord came and stood there, calling as in other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I think that's a pretty unique passage of Scripture and dealing with hearing the voice of the Lord. Are you ever in a position where you would say and maybe have said to yourself or others, "Boy, if I could just hear the Lord, if I could just, you know, I really need to know which direction to move here and to go in this direction or that or make this decision or that or this choice. Boy, if I could just hear the word of the Lord." Can I just be real frank and tell you that the voice of the Lord is always speaking to us. The difficulty is not getting God to speak. It is for us to be in a position where we can hear Him. It's not trying to talk God into something or out of something. It's simply being in a position where when God speaks, not if, when God speaks, our ears are tuned, we know the Lord in an intimate relationship, we're walking with Him, we're moving, we're living, we have our being in Him. And now as He speaks, as He gives direction, as he leads us in decisions, then we're able to understand exactly what He's saying. Now, there are times that Lord tells us something that we don't want to hear. And so, I recall Ezekiel. The Lord told him, He says, "I am going to take that which is most dear and most precious away from you." And some of you have been here. He says, "I'm going to take your wife. And I want you, when you go out in public, I want you to shave, clean your face, and hold yourself not in a place of mourning, but in a place of vibrancy, and go out among the people. I don't want you to go around with a sad face, unshaven, set in sackcloth and ashes, which would have been the norm in Ezekiel's day. I can't imagine how difficult that would be. I can't put myself in that place. My point is, God sometimes, when he speaks to us, tells us some things that we don't necessarily want to hear, but we always need to hear his voice. The directions that the Lord gives are not always the agenda that we want to follow. We want to turn right, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to make a left turn here. The rich man that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And he said, well, keep the commandments. Pastor Steve mentioned this several weeks ago. And he said, I've kept those from my youth up. And he said, well, there's one thing you lack. Sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. The scripture says that the man went away very sad because he was very wealthy. Sometimes God tells us and speaks to us and leads us into areas that are against all of our human understanding, because we have this way that we feel like God should speak. God always leads us in for our good and for his good. God wants to promote us and minister to us, touch our lives. He wants to flow to us and wants to flow through us. But sometime his direction seems untimely. Now, the Lord was, if sometime on your own devotion, you'll read on the rest of chapter 3, you'll see that God told Samuel to go to Eli and prophesy to him about his sons and even his own doom. I'm sure that was not something Samuel wanted to do, but that's what God had told him to do. That was the Lord's instructions. Have you ever been in that place? Lord, I just need to know. I may have told you this, forgive me, but it illustrates the point. A man was hanging off a cliff. He had fallen, and he was on this, on the rope had been tied in knots, and he was hanging by the last knot. And he cried out, Lord, Lord, save me. And there's a big booming voice came from on high out of the clouds and says, let go. Well, the man, it was dusk and he couldn't see anything, and he was afraid, if I let go, I'll maybe plunge hundreds and thousands of feet down the hill. I can't let go. He called again. Somebody help me. And again, this big booming voice, let go. So he raises his head and looks up and he says, is there anybody else up there? We don't always like what God says, because our way of thinking is as far away from God's thinking as the east is from the west. He said in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My mind doesn't think like you. God has spoken to us through his word the right way. And we should walk, therefore, in it. Now, there are some difficulties in following the Lord. But let me, in what he says, let me give you a couple examples of that very thing, just very much like Samuel, and that's one of Elijah. Elijah was told to go to King Ahab and tell him that he was going to close up the heavens and it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years. How would have you liked to have been in Elijah's position? The king was so totally sovereign in those days, that if you walked into the king's presence and he did not lift out his scepter, the centurions and the guards and those that were guarding the king, his personal bodyguard, would automatically take your head off. That's the reason the story of Esther is so unique, because she came to the king unannounced. And if he hadn't have seen her walk in and stretched out his scepter real quick, the guards would have beheaded her. But she went in with that kind of boldness. So Elijah walks into the palace of King Ahab and said, "The Lord has commanded that there shall be no rain, neither dew, neither shall anything water the earth for 3.5 years. Well, I mean, if you were Ahab, wouldn't you be ready to behead this guy? You knew he was a prophet of God. And like, I don't want to hear that." I'm sorry to say there have been times that God has spoken something to me, and I have said, "Lord, I don't want to hear that." I'm just being vulnerable with you. I don't like everything God says, but I've learned. I am learning to do whatever the voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord says, because I know that He has a plan. I just have an agenda. He has a plan. I have 3 daytimers, 4 electronic instruments with my computer to tell me what to do during the day. But God has a plan. And when God speaks, E.F. Hutton listens. You know who E.F. Hutton is? Yeah, some of you don't even know who E.F. Hutton is. Another example was David in 2 Samuel 12. David was a man after God's own heart. He heard the Lord. He knew the voice of the Lord. He had come to the kingdom early on, 15 to 17 years of age when Samuel anointed him as king. And then because God had taken away the anointing from Saul. But there was a time when all the men were out to war, and David was standing on the rooftop. And I don't have time to go in, but I just have a feeling that David planned that. He planned to be on the rooftop, because every day Bathsheba would go out on her rooftop in her tub and take a bath. And so maybe there was a little planning there not to go to war this time, but to stay home. And then, of course, you know the story. He had Uriah killed, and then this meek man that would have given the king anything. And then David went on for approximately 1 year with that sin in his heart. Do you think God was speaking to him during that time? I think so. He wasn't listening. He wasn't tuned in. He was waiting maybe for God to say something else to give him permission. God will never give you permission to sin. God will never give you permission to do something that is inappropriate. Listen, I'm 64 years old. I was raised in the church. See, I'm older than Pastor Steve. That's the reason I don't preach as much or as long. I had to get that in there. Wondered how I was going to weave that in. The Lord just helped me to just, oh, no, maybe not. I have heard people stand up and speak in the name of the Lord in what they call prophecy, or just speaking a word from the Lord that was from Bozo Magazine or something. I don't know where it came from. And then to give it more emphasis at the last, they would say, "Thus saith the Lord." You know what? I don't get angry, but that righteous indignation just welled up inside me. You don't speak in the name of the Lord unless the Lord is speaking. I asked somebody one time, in fact it was a wife wanting her husband to do a better job by being a husband. I know you gals never go there. But she wanted me to invite him into a counseling session and tell him how the cow eats the corn. And here's what I told her, and I'm very sincere about this, because I don't take anything lightly that an individual shares with me, no matter how corny it may seem. Some of you didn't even get that. It just went. Here's what I said. Do you believe the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is doing His job? Well, yes. Okay, what is the Holy Spirit's job? To lead us out of sin and to reprove us and to correct us in ways of righteousness. John 16. I said, if you think and you understand and you know that the Holy Spirit's doing His job, if they're not listening to Him, what makes you think they're going to listen to me? Now you think about that for a minute. Okay, time's up. Herein lies the problem, church. Somehow and some way, and I've got some suggestions if I can get to them, we need to tune our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. If your life depended today on you walking in the instructions of the Lord, which, by the way, it really does. So if you know and you understood that your life and your walk today and getting through till midnight tonight rested on the fact of you being in total obedience as much as you can understand and follow, I'm not asking something that's impossible. Neither does God. But for you to follow in that path, don't answer just to yourself, but how many of you would change your ways? How many of you would say, forsaking your own agenda, you're going to follow the path of the Lord? I would. There were some things that I would make sure I would. I'd take it captive. I'd be very, very careful that I understood what the Lord was saying and not just take it for granted or go by my own agenda instead of the Lord's instruction of His plan. Because I want to keep that intimate, sincere, awesome respect and fear of God, because He knows best. I'd like for you to go on over to Exodus. Well, I'm going to read about that part, but let me take you over to Hebrews. You know, coffee. Hebrews. reason I love coffee, it's mentioned in the scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll really get there in just a minute, but let me give you a prelude, because it starts in Exodus 19 and 20. And the scene here that the writer of Hebrews is talking about is Exodus 19 and 20. And he's talking about Mount Sinai. He's talking about a desolate mountain that was right between the Promised Land and Egypt. It was right in the desert place, rises this huge mountain. What happened, because Israel would not go on in from Kadesh Barnea, which really is a place of no return. Kadesh Barnea, either you went around the mountain again and came back to it, or you went on into the Promised Land. It was a city of decision. God had told them what? Enter the land. Take it. Said, I'll go before you, and I'll knock out all the giants and all the things, and sent the two spies in to, and all the 12 spies in to get a good report. And only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. We're well able to take the land. But all of this from Mount Sinai was this horrible, horrible, this vapor was around it. There was lightning striking. You couldn't see the top of it because of the vapor and the clouds. It was the gloom and doom mountain. But it was that way because that's where the presence of Almighty God was. And God said to Moses, bring all the elders, and you yourself come up and present yourself before me at Mount Sinai. Well, they got so afraid, the elders did, they got so afraid of this awesome God. Now, let me stop here for a minute and give you an editorial. Galatians talks about the word Abba. I love that word Abba. It is a linguistic word that your baby will first utter, Abba. And it has been literally pronounced or translated daddy, or just such an intimate, cozy relationship with us and God, that we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. I like it in its context. But my fear is, sometime, if we're not careful, we will take that context out of context and be too familiar with God. You know, when I first, years ago, started doing marriage counseling, this was one of the things that I had a real problem with. And that is individuals, couples, who became so familiar with each other after 3 or 4 years of marriage that they just took each other for granted. I mean, they burped in front of each other without saying, excuse me, or other things. They'd pick their nose in front of each other. They stopped opening the door. You know, usually when a man opens the door for his wife, either the car or the wife is new. Or put his arm around her, or hold her hand in the mall, or when they're out in the parking lot and going from the car to the store. Or the cherishing seems to go away. The reverence seems to go away. Now, do they love each other any less? No, they don't. But what happens, they become so familiar with each other, like Randy and DeLee, that they're not as I'm trying to win her love or his love. I'm trying to, I just can't get enough. The last year and a half, Kathy and I went together. I was in Sacramento. She was in San Bernardino. We wrote each other every single day for a year and a half. Wished I could cash in those stamps. We called each other a minimum on the phone. No cell phones when dinosaurs roamed the earth. We called each other every week, every single week. We had this thing all because we went with each other at that distance for 3 years. Well, now I do good to get her a card on her birthday. Come on. We grow too familiar with one another. We lose the awe with God. We lose the reverent fear, not the shaky, scary terror. But at Mount Sinai, this was a horrendous place unless you knew God. Mark Twain tells a story about a riverboat coming down the Mississippi River. And these two boys got out on the dock, and one of them said, let's wave and see if he stops and pulls over here. So they begin to jump up and down and scream and yell and go on. And all of a sudden, the riverboat began to take a turn. And they got all excited because the riverboat was coming toward them. And here it came, and it actually came up and docked right on their little pier that they had been standing on. And one little boy said to the other, I can't believe that. That riverboat captain would come over just to say hi to us. And the other little boy said, I can understand that because the captain's my dad. But we can become so familiar with Abba that we take it for granted and we lose the awe. Now, let's see if I can jump ahead and go to Hebrews 12. Bring this train into the station. Look at verse 18, chapter 12, Hebrews. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no longer no further word would be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. Now, this is the way a lot of people approach God. Under the new covenant, however, and when you know God and you know and love His instruction, listen to the contrast. Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Verse 25, so, in other words, or therefore, or see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. They did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. How much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised. But now he has promised once more. I will not shake the earth only, but also the heavens. And the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is the created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Let me jump to the very last part of this and say, here's how we hear the word in the heart of God. Number one is desire. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of his heart. But you have to have a desire of the intimacy with God. Beyond Sinai, coming on in to Mount Zion. That takes a desire on your part. Secondly, is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You must have faith that you're not going to be stricken dead, as if you were the priest with the pomegranate bells on the bottom, that if you had not sanctified yourself well and came in on the Day of Atonement, you would be stricken dead in the presence of God. Or when you came before God with your tithe and offering and you lied that this is how much we sold the land for, so this is the tithe, he says, you have not only lied to God, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And Ananias and Sapphira both were stricken dead. Now, we still come into the presence of that God. But when he looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ on our lives. And we have that intimate relationship with him. Yes, we call him Abba, but we also bow before his majesty. We have desire and faith. Thirdly, we seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, Isaiah said. For if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will surely find him. We need to seek. That's an active verb. We need to seek the Lord if we're going to hear him. Then forsake. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And lastly, obedience. We know that we have come to know him if or because we keep his commandments. Church, we need to hear the voice of the Lord. There's too many mistakes out there we can make. There's too many errors. There's too many traps that the enemy has set for us. And even if the word of the Lord seems, hey, that's too weird, is there anybody else up there? To have such an intimate relationship with God that, according to John 10, he knows his own sheep and calls them by name, and they will not listen to another. You may hear another voice, but you don't listen to it, because the Lord is your shepherd. Tune your ears. Set your spiritual hearing aids. Get tuned in to what God is saying. It'll cut my job in half. I have so many people. What do I have to do to hear the voice of the Lord? As he's the greatest counselor. He is the counselor. Thank you, Father. for all you have brought to us, all that you've made known to us. Touch our lives with the fact that you're always listening for our voice. Shall we not also always listen for your voice and then promise our obedience before you ever speak? Touch our ears and our hearts that we may hear, understand, and obey. As we lay our lives before you, allowing you to guide our path. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let me just share with you while you're standing that Olive Branch is our counseling center here at North County, and it is a community counseling center. It is alive and well. We're seeing in excess of 40 clients a week. We have no less than 12 to 14 counselors working that center. Some of you are here today that have gone through the training program. It is a vibrant ministry. It began as a vision from your pastor, and it has been gracious enough, and Steve has been gracious enough to allow me to serve as director of that center and trainer. And I just want you to know, because you don't always hear every Sunday about it, so Steve did ask me to go ahead and share just the point that it is there, it is going. Steve has turned the whole church office. It's no longer a church office, so don't come in to chat. It's not a church office anymore. It's a multi-purpose office. And I'm teasing about coming in and chatting. Sandy will tell you when you need to leave. But counseling is going on in one of those three rooms almost constantly. And it's a great place that there's been close to a dozen pastors in this community that have sent clients to us. And when a pastor sends individuals in his congregation or her congregation to a center like this, you know you've got their heart. And so I'm just thankful to the Lord for what he is doing, what he has done, what he promised to continue doing. And I don't think it'll ever be a church office anymore, because once we even get the building built on the corner, then everything will be so big, we'll be seeing more clients, we'll need both buildings. Steve didn't want to hear that, but it's the first time he's hearing it, so God bless you, I love you, have a wonderful and awesome day, go in the peace of the Lord.
Please stand with me now as we worship our King.